Boker Tov, and welcome to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are in the middle of the first sugya of the first Mishnah about Chalitza in the 12th parak of Yomot, and Daf Kuf Bet Amud Aleph near the bottom, right after the Siman. Amar Yehuda Marav, Hatarat Yivamala Shuk. When does a Yivamal become permitted to marry out? In other words, what is the exact moment of Chalitza, which is the end of the process? Bishmitat Rov Ha'akev, when most of the heel has been removed of the shoe. Meitavei, so we have a challenge to that. Hutru v'tsuot min al v'sandal. Let's say that the straps of the shoe or the sandal were loosened. O sheshamat rov haregel, or he loosened most of the regel. Chalitzata psula. Then it's invalid, because he did it. Tamad hashamatu, hashamtahi, chalitzata ksheira. So that's only because he loosened it. If she loosened it, then it's kasher, and that's rov haregel. Rov haregel, we assume, means the length of the calf. Rov haregel in rov hakev lo, so you don't need rov hakev, and rov hakev won't be enough, the most of the heel. So lo, hainu rov haregel, hainu rov hakev. Really, when we say rov haregel, we don't mean the leg, but we mean the foot. And rov here means really the heel. And why? Vamai karule rov haregel. Why is the heel referred to as the foot? Dechula chayla dekara ale dachis. That most of the power or the weight of the foot is rested on the heel. So therefore, when we refer to the regel, as far as this goes, we call it the heel. Good. Masayel Rabbi Yanai, this supports Rabbi Yanai. Dam Rabbi Yanai, ben shitir hu shmatahi, ben shitir ahi v'shamatu, whether he loosened it and she took it off, or she loosened it and he took it off, chalitzata psula, the chalitza is no good, asha tatir hi v'shtashmiti. She has to both loosen the shoe and then take it off for it to be a proper chalitza, and that's supported by the previous statement. Now, Bar Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Yanai then wants to clarify what really is the issue of chalitza. Kra'atu mahu, what if she tears the shoe off of him? Srafatu mahu, what if she burns the shoe off of him? Gilui karabayin vayika, is the issue that you have to uncover the foot and that you've got? Odilma chalitza bayinan vileka, perhaps you really need an act of removal of the shoe and that you don't have, and the answer is teku, because we're really not clear on what the issue of chalitza is. Is it the act of removing the shoe, in which case this is not satisfactory, or it's not sufficient? Or is it the act of uncovering the foot, which, of course, has happened here? So now we have a flipped question. What if a man is wearing two shoes, one on top of the other, mahu, and she uncovers the top shoe? So if you're going to say that she took off the top shoe and left the bottom one, the one that's really on the foot, so me'ala marachmana, the Torah said, from on top of his foot. It can't be on top of the on top of, so it can't be that she took off the top one. So the karate li'iloi. Here's what happened. She tears open the top shoe, and she takes out the bottom shoe, and the top one is still in there. So my, she did an act of chalitza, but the foot's still covered. Chalitza ba'inan v'ha'ika, odil maglui kara ba'inan. Or perhaps you could argue that what you really need is the uncovering of the foot, and that you don't have, and so it's unclear. But parenthetically, they ask, since when in reality could such a thing exist where you have multiple shoes that you're wearing? The answer is, it happens. The Chazir Rabban and the Rav Yehuda, the students themselves saw Rav Yehuda, they saw him going out with five pairs of shoes, meaning he had very thin slippers, and he wore one over the other when he went out to the shuk. So there is such a thing as multiple shoes. All right, good. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Yevamashik Dila Ben Achin. This is now a different issue of Chalitza, and that's the issue of Kavanah. If a Yevamah grew up, let's say there was a Yevamah who was young, and she grew up with the brothers in the family. After all, they are her dead husband's brothers. She grew up in the estate. None of them were old enough yet to do anything, so a few years later they're going to deal with it. Once they become of age, and once one of them wants to do Yibum, that's fine. Why? We're not concerned that during those intervening years, while she lived in the house, she happened to take one of their shoes off, and then that would be a chalitza. So now, you're arguing it's only because we never saw it. But if we actually see her take a shoe off, just as inadvertently, and then you would be concerned that perhaps she is a chalutza and then she couldn't have yibum with him. Whether he intends for chalitza, but she intends just take a shoe off, or vice versa. Chalitza tapsua, it's an invalid chalitza. Until they both have kavana for chalitza. So why are you telling me that it's only because we didn't see her take the shoe? Even if we saw her take the shoe off, we know that she was doing it as a favor and not as a ritual act of chalitza. Plus, there was no beit din. So hachikam avagav dechazinan. Even if we saw them, ein choshin shema kivnu. We don't have any concern that they intended it for mitzvah chalitza. She was just taking her shoes off. V'ikadamri. Some people actually read it the other way. Tama delo chazinan. The only reason that we allow her to marry is because we never saw her take her shoe off. Hachazinan chashinan. But if we did see her take the shoe off, then we are choshesht, meaning we're choshesht that maybe they had kavana for chalitza, and maybe there really were three people present. And remember, we don't need dayanim. Udekatana bai kavana. So when did we say that we need affirmative kavana? Hanimila lishtari yalama. That's to allow her to marry somebody else. Avalaachin mifsala. But if she took off the shoe and we don't know about the kavana, then we're choshesht the kavana was for chalitza, and she cannot marry one of those brothers. But she cannot marry out until she gets another chalitza, which is 100% proper, with affirmative kavana. Good. Now back to the material. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. Sandala tefur bepishtan. Let's say you have a sandal that was stitched with flax, meaning not from an animal product, but from a vegetable product. Ein chotzin bo, you can't use it. Why? Shenemar, we have the pasuk in Yechezkel, pasuk number one on the page. Va'en alech tachash, I gave you shoes from the animal of this kind of tachash, with the kind of ram or whatever it may be. So you see that the nal has to come from animal products. Ay, ve'ema tachash in midi achrine lo, so maybe a shoe can only be from a tachash, can't be from some other animal. No, na'al, na'al riba. The Torah says na'al twice in the parsha. Take a look on the previous page, on the top where the psukim are there. It says the word na'al twice, so it's there twice to give you an extra, to expand the meaning of na'al. So, in na'al, na'al riba, filu kol milinami. So if that's the case, then any kind of shoe, why do we care that it's stitched with flax is no good? So im ken tachash ma'ani, the answer is because then what do I need the pasuk about tachash for? So tachash is there to give me one limitation, and the limitation is, for some reason, if it's stitched with flax. So he asked Rav, who shall orva trisiotav shall sayar? What if you have a sandal that's made out of leather, but the straps, the sandal that goes up the side of the calf, the things that hold the straps are made out of goat's hair? Mahu. That fits the pasuk. Rav said that exactly fits the pasuk, that I put tachash on you. After all, sayar is for an animal. So yachi kulo shall sayar nami. So maybe if I have a shoe that's all made out of goat's hair, then it's fine. It's like a moccasin. So ahu karka mikri. That's not called a shoe. That's called a slipper. All right. I'm going to Rav Kana l'Shmuel. So my dahai v'chal. Now we're going to get into the meaning of the word chalatz, and we're going to parenthetically touch on something that if you're catching this podcast immediately, tomorrow morning is Birchat HaChodesh, and a very strange phrase that shows Birchat HaChodesh will be explained here. Amar Rav Kana l'Shmuel, m'may d'hai v'chaltza nalo me'al raglo mishlafu. How do you know that the pasuk that says she should chaltza the shoe from on top of his foot means to take it off? Dichti v'chaltzu t'avanim asher b'ananaga. In the parsha of Nige Batim, in parsha Metzora, where if a house has tzarat, they have to remove the stones, the word is v'chaltzu t'avanim, they should remove the stones. So you see that the verb l'chaletz means to remove. Ve'ema zruzehu, maybe it means to strengthen. Dichtiv, because we have such a pasuk, hechatzu meitchem anashim la'tzava. When Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael to form an army, to go to war against Midian, he says hechatzu. From there we get the word chalutz, of course. And that means to strengthen. So hatam namishlufi, it also means to remove. To remove mi beit alakrava. Remove, meaning leave your house and go to the battlefront. That's a little bit difficult, and we will re-examine it in a minute. Haktiv yechalatz ani ba'onyo. In the beautiful passage in Eov, Elihu says, God is yechalatz ani ba'onyo, which we think means he strengthens the poor man in his poverty. The answer is no, that's also removed. Vishar anyo yechalatzu medina shel gehinom. That because of the schar of his poverty that he endures in this world, God removes him or saves him from gehinom. The Malach surrounds those who fear God, and he's yechaltzem, which we assume means he strengthens them. No, the fact that they fear God means that he removes them and saves them from gehinom. And this is that strange phrase in the Birchat HaChodesh. We say, v'chilutz atzamot. We have a want to life of Yirat Shemaim, and Yirat Chet, and Havatar, etc., and Chilutz Atzamot. What does that mean? It's from the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, V'atzmotecha Yachalitz, V'yamar Abalaz, Zumu Lash Brachot. This is the most beautiful of the Brachot. V'yamar Rav, Zruzei Garmi, it means to strengthen your bones. You know, it's good health. That's what it means. So eat, you're right, and go back to all the psukim. We say, mashmahachi, mashmahachi. Lachaletz means both to strengthen and to remove. Tahacha, but here it cannot mean to strengthen. Here, if it meant strengthen, then it should be, she should be choletz his shoe on his foot, not from his foot. You don't strengthen something from. But if it said it that way, then I would think that it can only be on the foot and not on the calf, the shok. And we know that if it's a sandal, it straps up. That's also a removal, as we saw in the Mishnah. So, because Rachmana Me'al Raglo, that's why it had to say Me'al Raglo. Tafilu B'Shoko. So, Imken Lichto Rachmana B'Me'al Raglo. So then, if it wanted to say it should strengthen it there, it should say it should strengthen it on top of the foot. My Me'al Raglo, why is the preposition from? Shvamina Mishlafu. So you see that Achaleitz, in this case, means to remove. Good, because it's from, you move from. You don't strengthen from, you strengthen on top of, you strengthen to. And that means that the root lachaleitz really has two different meanings etymologically. One of them is to strengthen, the other is to remove. Amarehu mina Rabban Gamliel. So now we have a conversation between an early Christian, Rabban Gamliel, and the Christians constantly were poking the fun at the Jews that the Hashem had abandoned them. It was far more than fun. You are the nation that God has removed himself from. Right? And they won't find Hashem chalatz mehem, as if to say he has been removed himself from them. So Rabbi Gamliel said, you fool, miktiv chalatz lehem. It doesn't say he gave them chalitza. Chalatz mehem ktiv, as if they gave him chalitza. And they being as if sort of the man, and he being the Yivama here, the Yivama the Chaltzul Achin, so if the brothers take off the shoe of the Yivama, Midi Meshashit Pei, that's nothing. In the same way, what it means is that Am Yisrael abandoned HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not that Hashem, God forbid, abandoned them, but Yisrael abandoned HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a meaningless thing, because nonetheless, he still maintains his trust and his commitment to us throughout, and this, of course, is part of a long-running polemic in the early centuries about the implications of the destruction of the of Jewish sovereignty and of the Beit HaMikdash, and what that may mean as far as Hashem's relationship with Bnei Yisrael. Good. Now, the Mishnah said that you may not use an anpilia, which we said was a slipper. Chalitzata psula. Good. L'member d'anpilia lav minahu. So, obviously, that means an anpilia is not called a shoe. Utananami, we have a Mishnah that says, Ein HaTorah, and this is in Shkalim, when you go into the Beit HaMikdash, you're not allowed to go in wearing your shoes. You're also not allowed to go in when you're giving the Chumat HaLishka, when you're giving the Machzor HaShekel, you can't go in with any clothes with pockets, because the concern is that you may be pocketing. We want to, Hayitim Nakim, Hashem Yisrael, nobody should have any suspicion. Ein HaTorim Nichnas Lo B'Pagod Chafut V'Lo B'Anpilia. You can't come in with something with seams and not with an anpilia. So you see, it's a shoe. Certainly you can't come in with a proper shoe, because you're not allowed to go into the Azara with shoes on. That is a Mishnah in Brachot. But we see that an anpilia is included in that, so an anpilia is a shoe. Or Mina, we have a challenge, Achad Minalva Sandal Anpilia on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to wear Minalva Sandal and Anpilia. You're not allowed to walk from house to house, so you see that that an anpilia is an equally valid shoe. Sorry, going back to the Mishnah Shkalim, what you see is that anpilia is not a valid shoe, because it said you cannot wear an anpilia onto the Azara, and certainly not a real shoe. And here we have a challenge, is you're not allowed to wear an anpilia Yom Kippur, which means that an anpilia is considered a 100% shoe, equal to Minalva Sandal. So it should be valid Chalitza. Abaye to eat bektiti washum tanuk. Abaye says something interesting here. He says that we're talking about an anpilia that has some rags under it, and the problem is one of luxury, and it's in just a question of tanuk walking on a very soft thing. But since when is that also in Yom Kippur? Right? Amale Rava washum tanuk below min albi Yom Kippur. Me asiri, since when are you not allowed to walk on something that's not a shoe just because it's pleasurable? Rabbi Barvuna, Karich Sudra, Kari Venafik, he used to put a turban around his foot and walk out. It was very soft and pleasurable. On Yom Kippur, Amar Rava Lokasha. So Rava answered the contradiction between our Mishnah plus the Mishnah in Shkolim, in which an Anpilia is not a shoe, and the ruling about Yom Kippur, in which it is. Kanban pilia shel or, if it's made out of leather, then it's a shoe. Kanban pilia shel beged, if it's made out of fabric, it's not. So that means that, by the way, means that in our Mishnah, the anpilia that's an invalid chalitza is made out of fabric. Hachinam mistabra. And by the way, that makes sense. To ilote mahachi, because if you don't answer that way, kashim kippurim, kippurim, because we'll have a contradiction within the laws of Yom Kippur. To tanya, lo yitela adam bekurd kisin betoch beto, a man should not walk with these kind of shoes in his house. Tael huba anpilin betoch beto, but you can wear anpilin in your house. And the other one said you can't wear anpilin in your house, even from one bed to the other, on Yom Kippur. Alav shmamina, how do we distinguish? Kanban pilin shalor. What is the one you're not allowed to wear in Yom Kippur? If it's made out of leather, kanban pilya shel beged. If it's made out of fabric, you are allowed to wear it. Shmamina. Good. At Tanya Kavateh Rava, we have a Braita that supports Rava, and this Braita will take us to the end of today's podcast, the Braita and its analysis. Chaltsam b'min al ha-nifram, shechofet rov ha-regel. If she did a chalitza with a, and look on the page, you'll see the list here of all the items, with a shoe that is torn up, but it covers most of the foot. Sandal ha-nifchat shemkavot rov ha-regel. Or a sandal that has become diminished, depleted, so that it, but it still covers most of the foot, or it can, most of the foot can still fit in it. The sandal shall sha'am shall sieve, if it's made of different materials like bark. Bikava kitea, if you use a prosthetic leg that's like a shoe. Bimok, which is a mocha is a fabric shoe. If let's say that he's an amputee and has those things underneath his legs that allow him to kind of walk with his hands but put his legs on the ground, those things banpilia shel or a leather anpilia vacholetzet min hagadol, and if she gets chalitza from somebody who's adult, ben yomed ben yoshev ben muteh, whether he's standing, sitting, or lying down, vacholetzet min asuma, or if he's blind, chalitza takshira, those are all kosher. Aval if a shoe is torn so that most of the foot isn't covered anymore, or a shoe that's been depleted so that it cannot take most of the foot, or the things that the hands, people who are amputees and they have these things they put on their hands to walk on the ground, those are not shoes. Vanpilia shall beg at a fabric on pilia, or if the man that she's taking a shoe off is a minor, those are puzzles. So you see that supports the distinction between a fabric on pilia and a leather on pilia. Now, parenthetically, who's the author of this braita? Kava kitea, we said that the prosthetic leg counts as a shoe. Mani, who is that? Well, this takes us to Masachet Shabbat. In the sixth parak, when it talks about what people may wear, as far as carrying goes, what's considered a garment, Remeir's of the opinion that such a leg is considered a shoe, and therefore he can wear it. Remeir, non kitea, yotze bekav shelo. An amputee can go out with that prosthetic leg, divrei Remeir. Rabbi Yossi oser. So we see that our braita should be authored by Remeir, who says that the kav isn't considered a shoe, is considered a shoe for chalitza. Now, banpilia shel beged, but remember we said that an anpilia shel beged, a fabric anpilia is no good, atan l'rabbanan, that goes against Remeir, because Remeir obviously does not accept the pasuk in Yechezkel, pasuk number one on the page, v'analech tachash, as being exclusionary in any way, and therefore he says that you can use a kav, and therefore he would not have a problem with a fabric anpilia. So if we say a fabric anpilia is no good, that's Rabbanan. So who is it, Remeir or Rabbanan? Rabbanan, meaning those who disagree with Remeir about the kav. Amrabayim, it is safe for Rabbanan, Reshon Amrabanan. So they say, since you're right, the Anpilia shall beg, it must be Rabbanan, therefore the kav must also be Rabbanan. For Reshon Mechufer, or talking about a kav that is covered with leather. Amrale Rava, Aval Ein Mechufer, or Mai. So Rava says, if that's the case, then you have a kav that does not have a leather cover on it. Then what's the deal with Chalitza? He would say, Pasul. So therefore, in the Sefer, when we listed the invalid ones, and we included a fabric on pilia, leaflog b'didah, we should have also added varmur mechufa or. That's only if the kavakitea is covered with leather. Well, ain't mechufa or pasul, but if it's not covered with leather, it's pasul. Ela amarava mideresha Remeir, Sefer Remeir. He flips it and says, since the resha, because of the kav, must be Remeir, the Sefer must be Remeir also. And how are we going to explain the on pilia? Hi magin v'halo magin. The answer is Remeir does have some definition to a shoe. And he says there has to be something that protects the foot. The kav protects the foot. The anpilia shel beged doesn't protect the foot in any way. Good. So now Amar Meimer, hi man de chalitz. Well, somebody who does chalitz, tzarech l'mid chasei l'kare. He has to stick his foot hard in the ground when she takes the shoe off. Amar Ravashi, so it's really a removal. Amar Ravashi la Meimer. Vatanya ben Omer ben Yosha ben Muta, right? We said in a braita that the chalitza can happen whether the guy is standing or sitting or even lying down. So I am also good. Leon Lachis Lakari, good. He can even be lying down, but he has to stick his foot in the ground. Viamar Memer, he had a second ruling. Haiman Demaski Alichata Dekari. Somebody walks on the upside of their feet, meaning they had some sort of a defect in their feet, so the feet are turned sort of upside down and they walk that way. Lo Chalitz, can't do Chalitza. Haman Rashila Memer, Vatanya Smuchot Araglayim. We said the Smuchot Araglayim, meaning those things that somebody who was an amputee rests his feet on can be used. Lav de chalitz by you, aren't we talking about where he does it himself? And there his feet certainly are not of any shape. He doesn't have feet of shape. No, we're talking about him giving those things to another person who uses them for chalitza. But he himself can never do chalitza. So there's a story in Moed Katan near the end about two fellows who were treated Rav Ashi very disgracefully, and they were punished that their feet turned up. So Rav Ashi, Lamaida Kamar Memer, based on what a Memer said, Lav Bar Uba Chalitz, Lav Bar Kipuf Chalitz. Those two guys can never give Chalitza because their feet are not shaped properly. And you have to have your feet sitting properly on the ground in order to be able to use it. Which, by the way, would mean that when you go back to the Kava Kitea, it doesn't mean that the amputee himself can do Chalitza, but it means you could use that Kav for a healthy person to do Chalitza. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day. And if you're catching this immediately, a wonderful Shabbos. And Mi'atz Hashem, we will continue after Shabbos with the next passage of Min HaRakuva on Daf Kuf Gimel and go up to the Mishnah on Kuf Dalet.